Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to an understanding of God's Word. I'm Minister Jeanette Peterkin, and we're here tonight with our panel to discuss the Word. Last week we were talking about being renewed in the spirit of our minds, how Sister made the statement that we said last week that truth demands that we change. Amen. Mm-hmm. So we find that oftentimes as Christians we come to Christ and we sincerely give our hearts, but we don't come to identify with Christ, meaning that being identified with Christ means that you and I have to go through the purpose of or go through a process of transformation. And as we said earlier, God is not going to use anything of the old nature. He's not going to use anything of our old mindset. That's why he says, my ways are not your ways, or they're beyond your ways. My thoughts are beyond your thoughts. High as the heaven is above the earth, so are my ways beyond your ways, right? So that's why the only way that we can come to know who God really is in the face of Jesus Christ and in the cross. When we talk about the cross, we're not talking about his sufferings. That's understood. We know we appreciate everything Christ has done, and we're not demeaning nor downplaying his sufferings. But when we talk about having faith in the cross, it's for the benefits of Calvary. See? Yes. The benefits, I have to have faith in the cross in order to obtain God's grace and his mercy in my life here on earth. That's the only way I can make it through, because here on earth we're going to have trials and tribulation. Here Satan is the ruler of this world system, and he blinds the mind. The scripture said he blinds the mind of the world. So they're not going to understand us. They're not going to understand the ways of God. And there are some Christians that don't understand. Paul told the Corinthians, he said, I have to speak to you as babes, because by now you should have been more mature in Christ. He said, but I can't feed you with strong meat. Why? Because they weren't growing. They weren't progressing in Christ and the cross. They got saved, got the gifts, the baptism of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and they got comfortable. They never progressed to come to know something, to know a person, see? And so tonight, this is our biggest battle. This is our biggest fight. It's fighting the good fight of faith, or believing God despite what we see. This is how we stumble. This is how we fall, because we're looking at things from a human perspective or by sight.
Yes.
God never called us to walk by sight. He said walk by faith. So walking by faith is totally different than walking by your sight and your senses and your understanding. See? It's totally contrary. So we're entering into a new realm of how God, seeing things from his perspective and how he works when we become Christians. It takes us forever looking into the face of the cross in order to be changed. So looking in the face of trusting the cross, when we say looking in the face of the cross, it means that we're trusting God. Everything that we need, he said, we are complete in Christ. So everything you and I ever need is in the cross. The only thing is, in order to get to it, Christ said, I am the door of the sheep. See? If anybody want anything, we got to go by way of that process, denying yourself. See, when I identify with Christ, I have to deny myself, because Christ denied his right to himself as God and came down to earth as a man and died to do the will of God here on earth. See?
Amen.
So the whole life of Christ was based upon self-denial. It was the kenosis of Christ, where he emptied himself of his will and his desire to pick up the will and the desire of God the Father. See, that's what salvation is about. It's about you and I dying to self, and this is the hardest thing. So if I'm going to embrace truth, this is why Christ can make the statement, why call you me Lord? Many of us gather in church week after week, Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday, whenever, Tuesday, whatever, and we call him Lord, but we're not doing what his word demands of us.
Amen.
See? So we left one system of slavery and works and bondage, and now we're married to Christ.
Yes.
And so God saves us for a purpose. It's not for us to just sit down on a pew. It's not for us to just be engaged in religious works and activity. It's not for us to just carry out the missions of those behind the pulpit. We are demanded to be changed from the inside out.
Yes.
If I'm going to be effective in the kingdom of God, I got to be changed. I got to see things. I got to see him as he really is. See?
Yes.
And oftentimes tradition, church tradition, the doctrine of men, blinds us from seeing Christ for who he really is. And if I can't see Christ for who he really is, I can't see God the Father.
Ooh, amen.
And I can't, because the Holy Spirit is responsible for revealing the Father. Remember, Christ said he will take of mine and show it to you, meaning that whatever benefits Calvary afforded to me, you and I, then the Holy Spirit's job, as I evidence faith, is to reveal it, give me the revelation, and impart the fruit of the Spirit, the character of Christ in my heart and life. That makes sense?
Amen.
But it all begins with a mind, a mindset, or our minds being renewed, being transformed, being changed. And this can only come about as I yield. As I see, we, a lot of us, we will say with our lips, but God, God has to allow the test and the trials, because they have to, everything, when I say I believe you, God, and I trust you, God puts it to the test.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
When we say we believe and trust God and embrace this word, even on tonight, God going to bring allow a test to come along. And we don't see it as that. We'll see it just as some happenstance, some circumstance that just come about, and we just think, oh yeah, that. But the Lord say, you can't even love your relative. You can't even love this person. You don't even get along. But he's showing us there's some things in your heart that you're holding on to or not allowed me to change.
Wow. Amen.
See? So, and we think it's just, okay, I cursed him out. I said these things, or I got malice in my heart. But they're preventing you and I from obtaining the kingdom of God in us.
Yes.
See, remember, eternal life, it begins now. It starts with knowing something.
Amen.
Eternal life is knowing the one and only true God, Jesus, in the face of Jesus Christ. That's eternal life.
Amen.
You think eternal life is that, oh, okay, I'm saved, and now my name is written, and that's it. But he said that eternal life is knowing, is coming to know a person. See? So let's start it, and we're going to get down. I'll show that to you in a minute. But let's start at Ephesians chapter 4.
Okay. 19.
Let me see. And we'll start at verse 19.
Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto Leviticus to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Okay, let's stop right there. That sounds like a good place to stop. Okay, so let me get here. Y'all give me 1 second. Let me pull up my scripture. So we see here that he's talking to the Christians here in Ephesus. And let me see here. And the first thing he tells them is that in verse 19, that we have to first do what? Was it 19?
Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto Leviticus to work all uncleanness with greediness.
Okay. So in previous verses, we were talking about the things that we had to put aside, right?
Yeah.
And so he told us not to think the way that the Gentiles thought. And we saw that in the verses above that. So some of the things that the way, because of the way they were thinking, because remember, we came out of that lifestyle. So he's telling these Christians that we're not going to live this Christian life based upon the way the Gentiles walk or live. And that was according to the vanity of their minds, right? And their understanding was darkened. So if you and I are not growing and not in a ministry or not under a teaching, verbal teaching that explains the message of the cross, you will continue to walk according to what that which you came out of. Why? Because remember, we're in a process of where we're being changed every day. See, we're being changed from day to day to day. So the only way I can change is by having my mind renewed and coming to know something, coming to understand or learn some things. That's the only way. So if you and I as children have to go to school to be taught, if we never went to school or never go to learn from some source, then we won't understand how to live in this world system, right?
Right.
We won't come to. So you can either learn in the schoolhouse or in your environment that you're in, some kind of way, right? We have to be taught, right?
Yes.
So it's the same thing when we come to Christ. We have to be taught, just like babes, just like children. We have to be taught the word of God and how to live for God. And this was the job of Israel. They were supposed to learn how to live for God, learn God's standard, his command, his ways, and then teach it, live it, and teach it to the world, teach it to other nations. So the other nations will be drawn to this holy God, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but that didn't happen. They dropped the ball. Same thing with Adam and Eve. They dropped the ball. They were supposed to be our representative parents. And they failed us. And because of the fall, all of mankind has a nature that are bent towards wrongdoing. So this is why the Gentiles walk in that state. When we weren't saved, we were walking according to the vanity of our mind.
Amen.
And some of us still walk according to the vanity of our minds. Why? Because we've not let the Holy Spirit transform it.
Amen.
So if we don't let him transform our thinking, we'll continue to walk like the world. Remember, everything about the world system is dark.
Amen.
Everything in the world system is according to darkness. It's according to the ways of the Gentiles. Gentiles mean they're not Christians. They're walking. That's all the world knows. Before we came to Christ, all we knew was the ways of the world system. The world system says it's about what you can obtain for self. It was about the pride of life. You saw it.
Mm-hmm.
You had to have it. Why? To boost your status and ego.
Mm-hmm.
See? The world system teaches us that you look out for self. But the system of God's kingdom tells us to decrease. If they hit you on one cheek, turn the other.
Mm-hmm.
So walking in God's kingdom, this is not just a literal thing. This is a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual walk. You come to know. And see, a lot of people try to take the spiritual teachings of Christ, and because their minds haven't been transformed, they try to apply his teachings literally. That makes sense?
Without being renewed.
Say that again.
They do it without renewing of their mind.
Right, right. So the only other way, the only other thing that you know or way you know is through human, what makes sense to your human senses.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they can have these people that in these religion that go and tell my, well, the Lord said if we take up serpents and if they should bite you, you won't die. And they have some groups that go and handle poisonous snakes and let them bite them, and if they live, they said, oh, the Lord's hand was in it. See, he said we're going to take up serpents. That's not literal.
Amen. Amen.
So their understanding is darkened.
Yes.
See? And because they're alienated from the life of God. They don't understand how to live for God or the true life of God.
Yes.
That's why we said with Hollywood, or with anybody, there's a void in our life, and that void came from the fall. And so because we're not, if you're not in Christ, you'll try to fill that void with things, material things. And those things never bring satisfaction. It's only temporary.
Amen.
And this is why people, you can be rich and have all the homes, the houses, the cars, but they realize there's a void which was meant to be filled by God. See?
Yes.
And so because they don't understand that the void is, they're missing is God, a lot of people may, some people may take their life thinking that they can find happiness on the other side because it's through the ignorance that's in them. Would you see that right there in verse 18? Because their understanding is darkened because they're alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them. Why? Because remember, Satan is the god of the world system and he's blinded the minds. It says because of the blindness of their heart. So in other words, it's an ignorance, but it's a willful ignorance. They don't want God. They don't want the Bible. They don't want to deal with church. They don't want, but they want something to fill the void.
Right.
So it's a willful ignorance, meaning that God allowed it because you rejected his truth. It's a willful blindness because you rejected his truth because it did not align with your thinking. And
wow.
We as Christians can do the same thing.
Amen.
He told Hosea, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Therefore, hell enlargeth daily. So it wasn't that they didn't have the knowledge of God. It was that they rejected his knowledge, his truth. And remember we read last week that they went about to establish their own righteousness.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
This is why the way is narrow. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So
Amen.
After all that stuff, go ahead. Uh-huh.
No, I'm disagreeing. Amen.
Okay. So after all those things, he said, who being past feeling, having given themselves over into lasciviousness, meaning it was a complete surrender of self unto evil, to work all uncleanness with greediness. He said, if you try to live for God according to that former lifestyle, the way you were before you came to Christ, you have not so learned Christ. That's what he's saying here. You hadn't learned him. You have not learned, meaning that you have not learned to walk or to progress over in your Christian walk and grow. You hadn't learned to identify with him. You only heard that you needed a Savior, and from there you decided to take what you knew or learned and to apply it to according to your own mindset, according to your own precepts, according to your own thinking. That's what
Amen.
He's saying. And this is how many people are trying to live their Christian life today. They're trying to live it based upon their own thinking. See? So here in the Greek it says, you have not so learned Christ. It says to know Christ himself is the great lesson of the Christian life. This the Ephesians began to learn at their conversion, Christ, in reference to his office. So they knew Christ as the Messiah. They embraced him as the Savior. And it says, is here specified as the object of learning. So in Ephesians 4 and 21, it's talking about Christ, the person. Meaning that you have to come to learn how to identify with him. See, you have to take what you obtain, faith, okay, Lord, I need a Savior. You put your faith in the right object. Now you, the just shall continue to live by faith in the right object. That's what it's saying.
Amen.
Let's go to, keep your finger there, and let's go to Philippians 3. This shows us the example of how we are to live this Christian walk. If, again, you don't place your faith in the cross on a daily basis and learn how to let God cease from your own labor, cease from trying to fix your problems, stop trying to figure it out, and rest. He said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Meaning that we have to cease from our own labor.
Amen.
It doesn't feel good when things are out of your hands. You're not in control. Because now you got to stop walking by sight.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. It's hard not to walk by sight.
Amen.
It's hard. We want to see. We want to know, right?
Yeah.
Perfect example. Many times when you set out to, let's say, lose weight, or, you know, we've been taught that the scale, that number on the scale, right? That mm-hmm. number on the scale is supposed to be a certain number, right?
Right.
And if that number goes up, we panic.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people tie their weight to depression. If that weight goes up, they are tied. It's a known fact. Stats show it. People get depressed, and so they eat more when they see that their efforts have failed. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what we do? So they say we're working out, eating right, but the numbers go up, and we're like, oh God, I just give up. Right? I can't do it. Right? Because we're walking by sight. We want to see some results. Right?
Amen.
Faith says, I'm going to fix you from the inside out. So if you're working out and you're lifting weights, muscle weighs more than fat. Not knowing that, the scale may sometimes tip up. Not only is it muscle changing, inflammation, because the torn muscles, the torn muscle fiber and all this stuff that's going on, there's some inflammation that forms because the body's trying to repair the torn muscle. So in order to get muscle, you don't get muscles when you're lifting the weight. The weights tear down the muscle fiber. You get muscle as you rest. See? Y'all see what I'm saying? So not understanding that your weight, the scale may go up, but inside you're being changed. Muscle is turning, it's going from fat to muscle now. And because muscle weigh more, the scale may go up. And not only that, there's inflammation because you got torn muscles, muscle fibers, and the body. Y'all see what I'm trying to say? But if I'm walking by sight, I fail to see or realize that there's a change going on from the inside out.
Amen, amen.
What's my point? God works from the inside out.
Yes.
And sometimes as he works, it does not feel good.
Yes.
Because God has to address some things in our lives that we want to hold on to.
Amen.
So from the inside, is God is rearranging. He's tearing down. He's uprooting. He's destroying. And Jeremiah, that's what he said he would do. He said, I'm going to send you out, Jeremiah, to preach a message that's going to tear down, destroy, uproot, throw down, cast down. Then he finally says, once that's done, then I can build and plant.
Wow.
See?
Amen.
The building and the planting was only two processes, but there was a tearing down, uprooting, casting down, throwing down. Y'all see?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Some demolition had to take place. And what am I saying? This is what Paul is saying when he's saying be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And we'll get there. We have to be in a position where I humbly submit.
Yes.
This is the hardest place for God to get us, is to the point of surrendering, submitting. Lord, I decrease for your purposes. Once I yield totally, body, soul, and spirit, then the work, the process, it becomes much easier to surrender. We said that with Abraham last week. First, he told Abraham, leave your country, get out of the land of Ur. And I'm sure that was very hard. But Abraham could not reach the point of killing or offering up Isaac unless he obeyed God and leaving Ur of the Chaldeans.
Amen.
Many of us are trying to get all the way over here to point E of offering up our Isaac to God, but we haven't obeyed God and leaving out. Separate yourself. That's what he said. Come out from amongst them.
Mm-hmm.
Be ye separate. Some of us are cuddling up with the sinner and the ways of the world and embracing their wrong. See, there are people that's in doing wrong, and we sitting there smiling and cuddling up with it, and God says, no, separate yourself. He's not saying, he's not called us to isolation, but he's called us to separation.
Amen.
And some of us don't want to address it because it's family, it's friends, it's coworkers or whatever, or we don't want to, we just put up with it. And God says, you're different. And I'm just using that as an example. So we have to see that when he called Abraham out of Ur, that was the greatest surrender that he had to submit. Once he submitted to that, the other ones were much easier. See what I'm trying to say?
Yes. Amen.
So here in what I said, Philippians?
Philippians 3.
Okay, let's go to verse. Let me see what verse I want to start at. Let's see. Give me 1 second. Let's start at verse 10, but I think I
want to
go back a little bit further.
Miss P.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you think that once we get saved, we're supposed to, like you said, renew our mind. Our mind's supposed to be renewed.
Mm-hmm.
But then that's why we get people getting saved, but they're, it's like they want to just get saved for to join the church or saved to do this, saved to do that. It's like it's not being taken seriously about renewing your mind, that Christ got to renew that mind and work from the inside out. Because most people, they got the outside appearance, but they don't have the inside.
Right. And it's how we're being taught. It's
okay.
How people are being
mm-hmm.
taught and what they've been brought. So if you, Christ said, be careful how you hear.
Mm-hmm.
Then he said, be careful what you hear. Because I can use scriptures to support error, if that makes sense.
Amen.
I can use scriptures to support false doctrine, right? And we see it all the time. So if people come into this thing for the wrong reason, most of the time I think when they enter in wrong, they're not on the right foundation. They may not even be saved. If I'm entering in because I want my problems fixed, see, I got to enter in because I'm sick and tired of sin. I'm sick and tired. I'm tired of self. I'm tired of Satan, and I need a Savior. I give it up. See, there has to be a complete surrender of the will, of the mind, and the soul, and to embrace, admit what you are, and embrace the Savior.
Amen.
And if we're not understanding sin, we're not understanding hell, we're not understanding the salvation process, then you're going to give it up as soon as the first sign of a problem.
Yes.
So we see the Apostle Paul here in Philippians 3. We're talking about how they said in Ephesians 4, he said, if you're not changing, you have not so learned Christ. Now, look at the difference at Paul. And last week we read about, I think it was the Pharisees, how they were and how they desired. They said, we be Abraham's seed.
Mm-hmm.
You saw how when Christ, he said, the scripture said in John chapter 8, he said to those Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed or in reality, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall do what?
Make you free.
Right. They went on and said, free? We be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now look at Paul's response after he was on the, he had a zeal for God. He was religious. He was a Pharisee, one of the top Pharisees getting ready to take the leadership of Gamaliel, and he was on his way to kill Christians, zealous for God.
Mm-hmm.
So he tells us, let's start at verse 6, Philippians 3.
Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained for me, to me, those I counted lost for Christ.
Okay, stop right there. Now, when Christ confronted those Jews in Romans 8 about the error of their way, they tried to defend it. We ain't in no bondage. We be Abraham's seed. We were born. Now, above, if you read it, you'll see that Paul said he was circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrew, and a Pharisee, right? And he says concerning zeal, he had so much zeal that he persecuted the church. And he thought in his sight, touching the righteousness which is in the law, he thought he was blameless.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is how religious people are. This is how, whenever we refuse to change, remember, truth demands that we change. If I'm going to embrace truth, and truth is a person, Jesus Christ, him crucified. If I'm going to embrace him, Christ said, why call you me Lord and don't do what I say? This is what he requires of me. Paul said, all those things I had it going on. Man pat me on the back. I had all the accolades. I had it going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what things? This is what happened. He was traveling and he got knocked off the beast and had of his horse and had an encounter with Jesus Christ, the true and living Christ. See, he was brought up in the religious church, so this is all he knew. A lot
mm-hmm.
of people are brought up in religion, and that's all they know. But God will always, if they desire truth, he will bring an opportunity for them to embrace it and accept it.
Amen.
Now, it's up to us what we do with it.
Yes.
Okay? So here, Paul tells us what happened in verse 7. But what things were gained to me? Those I counted loss. Why? For Christ. See?
For Christ. Yeah.
See? All those things, he gave it up. And this is why a lot of people, when they're in religion and they get in church and get comfortable and get caught up in titles and positions, these pastors get these, you know, I believe they start out right. I believe many of them do. But the money, they get enticed by the money because they're not crucified with Christ. They're not dead to sin. They're not dead to self. They're not dead to Satan nor the world system. Because they're not letting the work of the cross put to death the deeds of the flesh, they can't give up the money, the paycheck, see?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Christ is much more than a paycheck.
Yeah. Ooh,
Christ,
yeah.
Having Christ he's much more than a title and a position, see? Those things are temporal. That can't do nothing for me eternally.
Amen.
That can do nothing for my eternal salvation, my soul, see?
Amen.
So many people are living just to live here on earth. That's not our purpose.
Amen.
We're living to live again with him, to be with him, not to live. We're going to eventually live on earth, but it'll be in his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah.
But many people, many Christians or religious organizations are seeking to live here, get comfortable here on earth.
Yeah.
That's not what we're called to. He called us to be the light of the earth, the world, city on a hill. And being light means that in darkness, darkness don't like the light.
Mm-hmm.
Darkness is just simply an absence of light.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we show up, darkness will either flee or come to the light. See?
Amen, yes.
So this is why our light has to shine brighter and brighter, because God ignites my human spirit. Say the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, and he searcheth. When he ignites, the Holy Spirit gets to work searching the areas that he need to work on first. So he will bring to serve. Remember, it said the word of God is sharp, powerful. So when my faith is in the cross, the word begins to work. It begins to penetrate the heart, because Hebrews 4 tells us that the word of God is sharp, it's quicker, powerful than any two-edged sword. And then it goes down and said, even to the dividing asunder soul and spirit, for to bring to surface the intents and the thoughts of the heart.
Amen.
Many of us are zealous in church, running, working, going to work ourselves to death. And yet the Holy Spirit says, I'm after your heart. I'm trying to show you, Abraham, you need to get up and separate yourself from Ur of the Chaldeans. Leave your kindred and your country. See?
Amen.
God is speaking to us and telling us what to separate from and what he needs to work on, but how many of us can hear him? Sometimes that's why it took that encounter of Paul being knocked off his beat by the beast by the blinding light. That's what it took to get his attention.
Yes.
That's why being in the wilderness, Moses killing the man and causing him to flee from Egypt to the wilderness and seeing the bush on fire but yet not consumed. That's what got his attention. Y'all see?
Amen.
Sometimes it takes those very things that knock us to our lowest to get us to look up.
Amen. Yes.
Then Paul realized what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Keep going, verse 8.
Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but done, that I may win Christ.
Now you see, this was his sole purpose and objective, was to win Christ. So whatever got in the way of him winning Christ, he had to keep counting it as a loss.
Yeah.
Y'all see? Many times we don't want to let go of the things that get in the way of us embracing Christ. We don't want to count it as a loss. We don't want to count as a loss that I may lose some friends. I may lose some family members. I may lose some job or title. I'll get you in a second. A title, a job, or whatever. But as long as I got Christ,
ooh, geez,
that's all that matters, because guess what? He's greater than the friends. He's greater than the relationships, the job, the title, and the position. Yes, ma'am.
I was about to say that. Some people, they want to live for Christ, but they don't want to give up the things of the world. Mm-hmm. And they feel like if they turn from them and follow Christ, then they don't have no friends. Mm-hmm. But what is gaining all these friends and mm-hmm. losing your soul?
Ooh,
yeah. Nothing down here worth it.
Amen. It's not worth it.
Long as you're walking after Christ. That's what.
Amen. Amen. It is not worth it, losing your soul. Amen.
Amen.
Very good point. So we see here, so Paul said that what things were lost. Let me find my place. I got excited.
Mm-hmm.
Yea, doubtless he count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge. See, he had to come to know something. Bible says, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You cannot grow in grace unless you got knowledge of what Jesus Christ did at the cross.
Amen.
It says, the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, which Paul gained through the experience of intimate companionship and communion with him. That's the only way you and I can come to know him.
Amen.
You and I have to decrease. In order to know, I have to know what? And if you read Romans 6, he'll tell you, knowing this, that you were, those that were baptized into his death were baptized into I don't want to mess up the scripture, but we were, when he died, in other words, we died. We were placed in his death with him. Our sin was buried. When he was buried, so were we. So were our sins. But when he rose up with a newness, new body. And so did we, newness of life, but without sin. Without, y'all see,
mm-hmm.
we're dead to self. Meaning our relationship that as we knew it, when we gave our life to Christ, what we knew before coming to Christ, we were dead to that relationship. I know I'm no longer in control of my life. I'm not living my life according to the world system, according to what I want. I'm not self-seeking. It's not about self-gratification. It's not supposed to be. When he died, I died.
Yes.
When he was risen, so was I. See?
Amen.
And so this is what he's talking about. This companionship is becoming, this is how we identify with Christ.
Amen.
Christ, the Bible says, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Although he was one of the Godheads. He is God the Father. Before it was Christ, it was God the Father, God the Word, and God the Holy Spirit. He was the Word before he was Christ, who put on flesh and became Christ the Anointed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was determined in eternity's past, before the foundation of the world. God knew that Satan was going to rebel. He knew that Satan was going to affect Adam and Eve and caused the fall. And Christ, God said, he said, prepare me a body. See, he was the Word. The Bible tells us, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God.
Amen.
You go down to John 1:14, the Word became what?
Flesh.
Prepare me a body. Flesh, right?
Amen.
And so the Bible is a story of Jesus Christ coming in the flesh from Genesis to Revelation. We see him when Adam and Eve sin, they go get fig leaves, and they have a animal has to be sacrificed. He's that covering. He's the Lamb of God, which would come and take away the sin of the world. See, he was represented in types and shadows in the New Old Testament. He was concealed, but in the New Testament, he's revealed. See?
Amen. Yes.
See, so he fulfilled the law, and so we see him in the Gospels walking. So today we look back to what the cross has afforded us right now.
Yes, amen.
See? So Paul said, he counted all those things. He said, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency. He wanted to know something. He wanted to know why he was saved. He wanted to know why God had arrested him on the road of Damascus. Y'all see?
Mm-hmm.
He said, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. It says, the original says, for whose sake I have been caused to forfeit all things. For his sake. That's what we've been called, to forfeit all things for his sake. See, I had to learn, it's not about me. It's not about what people think of me. So when God word you with his, give you his word and put it in your mouth, see, I was quite, quiet, timid, shy person, wanted to stay in the background. But guess what God had to do? When he showed up, see, and I had an encounter, I had to count everything else as a loss for the excellency of the knowledge, see.
Amen.
Come to know him in the power of his resurrection and be made conformable unto his death. God had to put to death some things and still putting to death.
Yes.
And as he puts to death, he gives you a new life, a new mindset, a new way of living. And that old timid, shy, and don't want to be, God will move you and have you to do his will.
Amen.
See,
amen.
Isaiah
amen.
Got to the point, Isaiah couldn't see the Lord high and lifted up. Why? Because Isaiah was looking to King Uzziah. He was the great hope in Israel. And King Uzziah got prideful and thought he could offer up the sacrifice. The king's job was not to go and offer up sacrifice. That was the job of the priest and the high priest. And when he did that, leprosy struck him. And the Bible says when King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, guess who I saw? The Lord.
Oh, the Lord.
High and lifted up. See, then what are we putting our hope and our faith in? Whatever it is, God has to allow it to die so we can see him high and lifted up.
Yes.
See, when he saw him, guess what? When he got the true revelation of who Christ it was, see, he said he counted everything else as lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. See, this was God revealing Christ, revealing his glory to Isaiah, who he really was. When he saw him in his glory, guess who else Isaiah saw? Himself as he really was,
yes.
A sinner. Woe is me, Isaiah 6. See? When he saw himself as he was, Isaiah saw himself as a sinner, then guess what happened? See, this is what I said. It's progressive. Revelation is progressive. So you and I cannot know and understand spiritually things unless we allow Isaiah to come down, see him in his glory, the cross of Christ, see ourselves as we really are, and then Isaiah heard them talking in heaven. Oh, my Lord.
Amen.
Abraham, when he obeyed God, he obeyed God, left Ur of the Chaldeans, separated from Lot. See, God was working. He was decreasing. He was surrendering. And guess who showed up? He knew the desires of their heart was to have a child. And three angels showed up, and one of them was Christ pre-incarnate. Showed up, sent the two angels on to Sodom and Gomorrah, and sat down and had fellowship with Abraham, and said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do?" What am I saying? That was communion. That was fellowship. Y'all see?
Yes.
That was fellowship with the living God, and he told him what he was going to do. What am I saying? When you and I come to grow in our intimacy and our knowledge and understanding of who Christ is, we'll be like Isaiah. We'll hear them talking, saying, who will go and who can we send? They didn't ask Isaiah. God didn't come down. The Godhead didn't come down and say, Isaiah, can you? No, Isaiah positioned himself where God could give him the revelation and grow him up to let him think and hear the mind of God. See?
Jesus.
This doesn't come just because you're a Christian. This doesn't come just because you say you're saved and go to church. This has to come as you and I count all things as loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
For whom we have to suffer the loss of all things and do count those things but what?
Dung.
See, y'all know what dung is, right?
Yep.
Cow doo-doo, donkey doo-doo, whatever, right? We count as dung. Why? That we may win whom?
Christ.
This is the point that God wants us to. We ain't talking about, y'all see anything talking about religious activities and programs. We more caught up in that stuff, and we miss Christ. We miss hearing, seeing him in his glory. We miss seeing ourselves as we really are, and we can't hear what the will of God is from heaven.
Amen.
We're too caught up in the TV and the world system to know. We don't know what's going on spiritually, and there we go fighting with the world on the world's bandwagon, not realizing you're fighting against the very thing God is working and doing in the earth.
Amen.
He's moving on our behalf. Israel did not know that Naaman had plotted to kill all, or Haman plotted to kill all the Jews. They had no clue. But guess what happened? Mordecai, who was spiritual, Mordecai, who could hear and know the voice of God, God positioned him in the earth in the council of men, strategically placed him in a position in the earth where he knew the plot and the scheme. See? God got him, and he like, oh, my Lord. God delivered a word to him for Esther and said, told him what was going on. The Jews had no clue. They walking around just marrying and drinking and having a ball, thinking that they were okay. But they were about to be destroyed. A plot was planned to kill all the Jews during King Xerxes and Queen Esther time frame. The queen's wife, her people, king had no clue he was being used. He was a heathen king. Had no clue that his right-hand man was plotting. What am I saying? Satan, and I was reading in Revelation, Satan is the adversary or the accuser of the brethren. Satan is not in hell. He has access to the heavenlies. He has access. And the Bible said in Revelation, I think it was chapter 12, that he stands there in heaven and accuses us day and night.
Amen.
There are fallen angels, demonic spirits, or fallen angels that go back and forth accusing us. They go see what we're doing, run back. Lord, look. And that's why Satan could tell God, Job ain't going to curse you. You got a hedge.
Mm-hmm.
You got a hedge. You ain't going to do he. You got him. And God said, I'll let the hedge down. But you can only do but so much. Mm-hmm. Satan's still under God's control. See? He cannot do anything to the Christian unless God allow him to. He's a puppet in the hands of God.
Amen.
So we have to realize that, I lost my train of thought, but we have to realize that Satan has access. And what was I saying, y'all, about? Oh, with Esther and Mordecai, they had no clue that the enemy was planning to destroy them. And God used a spiritual man to confront Esther, and he told Esther, if you don't do it, Esther, you're going to die, but God will raise up somebody else to do his will. What am I saying? God uses us in the earth to accomplish his will. Will you be light and shine in the midst of darkness, or will you become a part of the darkness? Will you, a refusal to go forward is a refusal to change. A refusal, when you sit down on God and refuse to change, take his word and apply it and let God work in you, is a refusal to change. You're, in essence, still in darkness. Why? Because you can't hear. You don't know the will of God, and so therefore we base it upon our own mindset, our old way of living and our old lifestyle. So we don't know what it is that God is requiring. So Esther had to make up in her mind, although she could have lost her life because she wasn't supposed to go to the king unless he summoned her. Y'all see what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
When you give up, count all as lost, even your very life.
Jesus,
you have to suffer the loss of all things, meaning you're willing to forfeit my life, Lord, for thy will be done on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Their intercession, they called a fast and prayed, and God revealed what it was they had to do, right? What am I saying? Until God says, if my people who are called by my name would humble, first step, humble. We need to be humble. We want to jump past all that. Pray, seek his face. Oh, he'll heal the land, girl. No, if my people who are called, he didn't say the world. He said, my people who are called, if they will first humble themselves.
Yeah.
Humbling yourself, meaning that when you submit to the way of the cross, you have made up in your mind, like Paul, to count everything else as dung.
Yes.
To count everything else as a loss just for Christ. See?
Yes.
Okay, let's keep going. Verse 9. Oh, let me finish the story. I'm sorry, let me finish the story. And because Esther and Mordecai obeyed the word of God, called the fast, sought the face of the Lord, God turned the counsel of the enemy, the schemes of the enemy, on his own head. You see what I'm saying? There is hope for America. There is hope for other nations. There is hope for your city. There is hope for your state. But God strategically places us there to be intercessors, not become a part of the world, not, he said, pray for your government, pray for whomever. There is hope for your household, your children, see?
Yes.
As long as the believer is there and their faith is in the cross and we've surrendered our will unto the Master to do his will, to see him for who he really is, not these doctrines and these man-made programs and activities, but to come into the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Amen.
God will give you the answer, see? God will help us to move past walking by sight so that we can walk by faith, even though things around us may appear one way. He'll cause you to walk past what you see and walk by faith.
Yes.
See? Let's keep going.
And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith.
Many of us have our own righteousness. This is the problem. This is not.
Yeah.
This is why we got to stop at. If my people would, who are called by my name, would humble themselves, they got. We read last week in Romans 10 that Israel. He said, "My prayer and desire is that all Israel might be saved, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They've gone about to establish their own righteousness." See.
Mm-hmm.
So they would not submit to God's righteousness. God's righteousness is Christ and him crucified. The only way that God can see you and I as being right, he does not even receive our faces. The Bible says he has no respect of persons, or in the Greek it means he doesn't even receive our faces. What does he see? When they got in the house, he told them to go into the house with the blood applied to the doorpost of the house in Egypt. When the death angel was coming, when I see the what? I will pass over you. So in essence, when God sees the blood of Christ applied to my heart by faith, he don't see me. He sees Christ's righteousness.
Yes.
See?
Amen.
Only reason why he was able to pass by the death angel, pass by their house, was because, not because they were good, not because they weren't fearful. I'm sure they were scared.
Mm-hmm.
But they had enough faith, faith the size of mustard seed can move a mountain. They had enough faith in the blood to get them into the house.
Amen.
You and I have to have our faith. It doesn't mean the amount of faith. It means that the object of faith, where is your faith directed? Because many of us, wherever your focus is, that's your object of faith.
Yes.
So wherever you're, whatever you're focused on, whatever your focus is in life and living and what have you from day to day, that's your object of faith. And so God has to direct. That's why the man could say, "Lord, heal my child." And he said, "Lord, I believe." But he had enough. He put his faith somewhat in the cross. Help my unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
See, he admitted, "Help my Lord, help." And God honored that. See, because he was shifting his faith. He had shifted his faith to the cross. He was trusting. "I done tried everything, Lord. Nothing's helped. Your disciples can't help. So I'm willing to trust you."
Yeah.
See? He was a little shaky, but guess what?
Amen.
Faith in the cross healed. That's why Christ would say, "Thy faith has made you whole."
Yes.
So the righteousness, living for God. See, many of us think that because of what we're doing for God, I go to church, I pay my tithes, those are right and good things. But when I look to those things to make me right, or I think I'm right with God based upon what I'm doing, then that's my own righteousness. Myself, I'm trying in my strength to live for God. And that has to die.
Amen.
So he said, and be found in him, and we're going to close in a second, and be found in him not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through what?
Faith. Christ.
The faith of Christ. Talking about, when anytime it says the faith of Christ, it's always talking about what Christ did at the cross. It's not talking about Christ the healer. It's not talking about Christ the deliverer. Even though those things, we're not demeaning what he's done, the miracle worker, is talking about what he accomplished at Calvary. That's where the victory was afforded you and I. The resurrection was dependent upon his death. He could not be resurrected unless he died. So the power is in his death.
Yes.
His death brought about the resurrection, see?
Yes.
But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So we obtain a spotless righteousness, and it says it's made possible by the cross and imputed by God to all who exhibit faith in Christ and the cross.
Amen.
The last one, this is where I want it to be.
That I may know. Oh, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You
ready? Uh-huh.
That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death.
All right. And we'll probably have to pick up next week on this, because this is leading to this is still a part of being renewed in the spirit of our mind. If I don't come to know these things, I cannot be renewed.
Yeah.
I cannot be changed. You don't just come to know this stuff through osmosis. This is the purpose of the fivefold teaching, the gift things. They're supposed to explain and proclaim this, the cross, so that we no longer be tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. The reason why we have all these different denominations, different doctrines, is because people are not coming to know the cross. The message of the cross is not being preached and proclaimed. It's out there, but there are so many false teachers and false doctrines that it's being drowned.
Mm-hmm.
But if depending upon your heart, the position of your heart, you don't have to know a lot of things. You don't have to know. You don't have to know how to live for God. You just got to have a heart that's after God.
Yeah.
Put it that way. See, Paul was zealous. He didn't know. He just knew what he was brought up in. But see how God made a way? The Holy Spirit is responsible for getting truth to you and I. It just depends on the position of your heart.
Amen.
It's not about the goodness and how hard we work. It depends on God sees the hungry heart. He said, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you didn't try religion, all this stuff that you did, and it's not bringing the satisfaction, he will lead you into all truth.
Amen.
He will lead you to where truth is being taught. You just got to have enough sense to not get caught up in what you see. I got to find a church building. I got to find a certain denomination. I got to find, see, we get caught up by sight, and God will lead you to truth, and truth may be, like, as we often say, a Bible study line.
Amen.
Truth may be a media church online, see?
Amen.
What am I saying? Obtaining truth is, although it's good to be in a local assembly or church, but oftentimes it's very hard to find a local ministry that's preaching the message of the cross. God will bring it to you. He will give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're opposed to it because of how it looks, because it's not what you're used to, religion, programs, religious activity, whatever, then you will walk in. It will be a willful ignorance and a willful blindness because you rejected what God presented.
Amen.
Remember, we're not walking by sight. We got to walk by faith.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I'm going to close on that note because I done went way over y'all time. But we're going to take questions and comments. So those on the line, just hold on and as we close it out. But we'll take questions and comments at the end of the call. And we just want to thank everyone for tuning in. We pray that we've said some things that will strengthen your walk. Just ask the Lord to reveal the what we said, to relay it to you or direct you, and to to investigate the scriptures, to seek it out and find out the truth of the matter.
Mm-hmm.
Because God, he's looking for hungry hearts. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the earth, seeking those whose heart is at peace with him, who he can show himself strong on their behalf. So God is seeking for hungry hearts and soul that wants truth. And we're here to direct you to truth, the cross of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So until next Tuesday at 6:45, we'll see you again on the Understanding of God's Word. Thank you and be blessed.